and we're gonna find ourselves in Psalm 27. We're gonna be talking about confidence in the Lord and his presence. I'll be reading from the ESV translation. That is the translation that you can find in your chair backs if you need to grab a copy of God's word. Psalm 27, this is a psalm of David. Starting in verse 1, he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord for us this morning. Please join me in prayer. Father, first and foremost, we reflect on the fact that you are our Heavenly Father. We thank you that we can call you such because of Christ, your Son. What he has accomplished on our behalf. Lord, thank you for adopting us as your children. Let us not take that privilege lightly, Lord. Help us to revel in that. Father, I ask that we would be able to behold your beauty and glory this morning. I pray, Father, that you would also reveal sin in our hearts, that you would show us the error of our ways, but let that drive us to behold the mercy of Christ in whom there is forgiveness of sins. We thank you for that forgiveness, Lord Jesus. We do pray a particular blessing on the fathers in this room, the men in this room even, Lord. We ask that you would continue to further conform them into your image, Lord, that you would strengthen them and equip them for the high calling of fatherhood, which you have called them to. We also pray for those in this room who this may not be a happy day for, Lord, those who have lost fathers, those who desire to be fathers and cannot be such, Lord, we pray that you would speak to the hearts of each and every one in this room with your word, comforting them with a sense of your presence, Lord. I pray that your spirit would be at work in our midst in a great way, that you would give me power and clarity to preach your word with unction, Lord, and that you would take it and apply it to the hearts of your saints. And that you would change them and transform them through the preaching of your word, that you would cause worship to happen in this place through the preaching of your word, Lord, that you would even give life to dead hearts through the preaching of your word, Lord. You can do far more abundantly than we think or ask. We ask that you do it in our midst, Lord Jesus. In your holy name we pray, amen. I think that it's safe to say that all of us have had times in our lives that if we looked at the circumstances going on in our lives, we would have much reason to be afraid. And maybe you find yourself right now walking through adversity of some kind where that's the case. Like the thought of what you're walking through is so disheartening that it simply makes you want to curl up into a ball and go back to bed. I don't know if it's just me who's ever been that afraid before. I like to think many of us have struggled with fear to that extent. And that's not too dissimilar from the circumstances that it sounds like David had been facing in Psalm 23. And I'll tell you what, when we find ourselves walking through difficulty, when we have fears that loom large, there's only one place that we can truly find safety. Only one place that we will find true refuge, and that is in our Lord Jesus. And what we find in him and in his presence is, as David says in verse 5, shelter in the day of trouble. In him we find shelter from the storm. So that's the big idea I want us to see from our text this morning, that as Christians, when we face fear and adversity, really when we face anything in life, the Lord is our true security. Therefore, we can seek him in prayer and wait upon him with confidence. When we face fear and adversity, the Lord is our true security. Therefore, we can seek him in prayer and wait upon him with confidence. So that's what I want to encourage us all to do from the text this morning. In the face of fear and adversity, find your security in the Lord. We're going to see that in verses 1-6. And then in the face of fear and adversity, seek the Lord in prayer. We're going to see David do that in verses 7-12. And then in the face of fear and adversity, wait upon the Lord. But wait upon the Lord with confidence, because he is trustworthy. So in essence, what I want to encourage us all to do this morning, really my hope and prayer, is that our eyes would be lifted off of our circumstances and placed upon the living God, whose presence is in our very midst. Let us find safety there in his presence and confidence in our God. Let's turn to the text. Look with me at verses 1-6, where I want to encourage us to find our security in the Lord. Look at verse 1 there. David says, "The Lord," as we sang, "the Lord is my lighthouse. The Lord is my light and my salvation," David says. "Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Now, David says that this is the case even in the worst of circumstances. Even in the worst of circumstances. Look at verse 2 there. He says, "When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh." Really what he's bringing across is when people are attacking me like ravenous wolves, he says, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. "Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident." I want us to ask, how on earth is this man able to say that? Even if people are coming after him like lions looking to devour him, even if a whole army is out to destroy him, even if the nations rage against him in war, how is he able to say, "My heart will not fear"? How is he able to say, despite all that, "Yet I will be confident"? I believe we will find our answer in verse 4. This is the heart of the psalm, really. David says there in verse 4, "One thing have I asked of the Lord." Like if you're facing adversity, possibly even in David's context, people looking to kill him, what's the first thing you're going to ask God for? Most of us, myself included, depending on what moment and day you catch me, are probably going to ask God to get us out of this jackpot. Get us out of this situation. Like, "Lord, change these circumstances. Lord, fix this problem." Thinking that's what we need to find true security. But what you'll find interesting is that's not the one thing David asks for, is it? It's David doesn't ask for the difficulty to be removed initially. David's not asking initially for deliverance. He doesn't even ask the Lord for safety itself. He says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after." What is it? "That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire, to meditate, to ponder upon his glory in his temple. The one thing David asks for amidst the adversity that he finds himself is the Lord, because that's where everything that we need is found. All this language, house of the Lord, temple, even tent, this is all language describing where the Lord's presence was, where the Lord's glory was most displayed. Like that's what David is seeking. That's what David is asking for. David's greatest desire amidst adversity and fearful circumstances, his greatest desire is not safety, which may sound counterintuitive. David's greatest desire is the Lord's presence itself, which subsequently is where true safety is found. And I want to be clear. When I say safety, I don't mean that he would be or we will be free from suffering. I mean that we are safe in God's hands, even through suffering. Look at verse 5. He says, "For he, the Lord, will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock." David's like, in the Lord's presence, that's where I'll find shelter. He will hide me in his presence and bid me come into his abode as a friend. That's where I'll be safe, David says. And that's where I will offer in his tent where he dwells sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord because I delight in his presence and I'm safe in his presence. In church, the beautiful thing on this side of the cross is we don't need to go far to find the presence of God. Because the God of David took on flesh to dwell with us in the Lord Jesus, Emmanuel. God is with us, and he's with us right now. Because after his death, he rose and ascended into heaven, and he sent his Spirit to dwell with his people. So now you don't need to go anywhere particular to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Although there is something particularly beautiful that happens as we gather corporately to open up his word and gaze upon the beauty of Christ. But you can gaze upon the beauty of the Lord wherever you are. You don't need to go anywhere particular because his presence is right here, right now in our midst. And the presence of the Lord is the one thing that David asked for and sought after. That presence dwells in you. It's in our midst right now. Dwells in your heart when you leave here. Dwells in your heart when you walk through the difficult circumstances you may be facing. So amidst what you may be walking through right now, amidst the scary circumstances that I know many of you are walking through in your lives, what we need to remember more than anything is our Lord and that his presence is with us. We don't need to look elsewhere for safety and security because the true source of safety and security quite literally dwells in our midst. Remember that he is your light. You can echo the words of David here when he says, "The Lord is my light." Not just a light, he's my light. If you are a Christian, he is your light because the true light, which gives light and life to men, has come into the world, and his name is Jesus Christ. He himself said, "I am the light of the world." And any darkness that can ultimately destroy you has already been defeated by him because he is also your salvation. You can say with David, "The Lord is my salvation," because he has saved you from your sin and purchased life and immortality for you. Church, God is for you. We simply need to look to Christ to know this. Who can be against you if God is for you? And remember that the Lord, he is not distant. He is not far off. But he has sent his Spirit, your helper, your comforter, to wrap you safely in the arms of Jesus all the days of your life. You don't need to retreat to bed and pull the blanket over your head to find comfort amidst your fears, because Jesus himself, via his Spirit, wraps you with his love. You need not look elsewhere for safety, because he is your God and you are his child. Therefore, he will never leave you or forsake you. These are promises of his word. Even if evildoers assail you, as David says, it is they who stumble and fall. Even though an army encamp against you, your heart need not fear. Even if war rise against you, you can be confident. Why? Because your God is with you. So let us lift our eyes off of our circumstances, hard as they may be, and behold the God who governs them. And be confident, whether that look like walking through sickness, trusting the Lord, or whether that look like going to a Muslim country to bring the gospel and everything in between. You can be confident if you are in Christ, because he is your keeper. He is, as David says, the stronghold of your life. But really, my question for us this morning, is he the one thing you ask for? Is his presence the one thing you truly desire? If God, let's just think for a second, I know the skeptic and believer likes to think God's like a genie, but let's say for a moment he was. And you rubbed, you know, your little pot and you got one wish from the genie and God said, you can have one thing. You can have one thing. Go ahead and ask, I'll give it to you, anything. Is your answer going to be him and his presence? Because whatever your answer to that question is likely where you're looking to for safety. What you truly have confidence in. I hope it's in him. I hope our answer would be him. And I hope we're growing ever more to desire him and him alone, no matter what we may be walking through in life, because he alone is your greatest need and he alone is our greatest good. And if you have him, you can sing. Like David says in verse 6, sing and make melody to the Lord, no matter what you face. I mean, how does the martyr go to their sure death, singing praises to the Lord? Because you can take the Christian's life, but you cannot take their Lord and his presence away from them. You can take the Christian's life, but no one can take our Lord and his presence from us. So let us hear, even in this text, the Lord say, come. Come hide here. It's as if we're running from danger and all of a sudden the Lord says, come here, come in here. You'll be safe. Come find refuge in me. I mean, we may be like little children who are running and scared, yet the Lord bids us come, like the Heavenly Father that he is. Come here. It's going to be okay. Your Father's here. Church, come into your Father's arms through Christ his Son. It is only there that you are truly safe. But if David's greatest desire amidst adversity is the presence of the Lord, I think the question should be, how does he pursue that? He does so through prayer. In verses 7 through 12, David turns to the Lord in prayer. And I want us to think about these verses along two lines, because really he's doing two things as he prays to the Lord. He's seeking the Lord's face in prayer, and he's seeking the Lord's help in prayer. David first seeks the Lord's face in prayer. And it's important to note that David, his confidence that he expressed in the Lord in the first three verses, the confidence that he has in the Lord amidst his fears, it doesn't negate his need to pray. It actually drives him to his knees. David first seeks the Lord's face in prayer. In verse 7, he cries aloud for the Lord to be gracious to him, to answer him. In verse 8, he knows the Lord has called his people to seek his face, meaning to seek his presence. So he says to the Lord in prayer, your face, Lord, do I seek? Again, he's expressing in prayer his greatest desire for the presence of God. David says, hide not your face from me. This is just David's longing for God expressed in prayer. He says, turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. He's like, God, you've been my help. don't leave me now. I need you. Don't forsake me, God. He's just wrestling with God in prayer amidst the difficult circumstances he finds himself in, desiring to experience really the Lord's presence. David's like, you're my greatest need. It's as if he's saying, Lord, I am drawing near to you. You draw near to me. I need you. Then in verse 10, he remembers as he prays that even if those closest to him on earth have forsaken him, even if his father and mother have forsaken him or are dead and gone, he remembers how close the relationship his Lord has with him is. That even if he has no one on earth, he says, the Lord will take me in. The Lord will receive me. The Lord is near. The Lord has called me his own son. Therefore, the Lord will not leave me. But that remembrance came through seeking the Lord's face in prayer. It's much like when, I'm not going to share the story, I think many of you know it, it's much like when Jacob wrestled with God. In Genesis, he says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. That's much of what's happening here with David. David's wrestling with God in prayer. Amidst the difficulties and adversities we may face, we in our fears want to go and wrestle with God in prayer and say, Lord, I'm not letting you go. I'm not leaving my knees until I experience you, until I behold your beauty, until I see your face. I need you and I need your presence. That's what David is saying, because God himself is his priority in prayer. God himself is the priority in prayer. It's not changing our circumstances first and foremost. It's not even seeking safety first and foremost. Our first priority as we approach the throne of God in prayer is God himself. Beholding him, seeing his face, experiencing his presence. And now let us ask ourselves, amidst the difficulties we may face in life, is this how we pray? Do we turn to the Lord in prayer, looking simply for the Lord in prayer, yearning for his nearness? Because it is only when he is near that we will experience freedom from our fear. Or let me phrase it another way for you to think about. Are your prayers primarily geared towards asking God to change your circumstances? Or are they geared towards enjoying God's presence in the midst of them? However, I don't want you to leave here thinking it's not wrong to ask God for help in prayer, after seeking God's face in prayer. It's funny, if we just think of the outline the Lord gives us in the Lord's Prayer, this is much of what David is doing. David doesn't even know it because the Lord's Prayer hasn't been given yet, but he's following that example in prayer. It's not wrong to ask God for help. It's not wrong to ask God to intervene and change our circumstances. But first, David sought the Lord's face and the Lord's presence. His priority in prayer was God himself. And then after doing that, after seeking God's face in prayer, David then seeks God's help in prayer. He says in verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Really, he's asking for the Lord's help and wisdom. As Albert Barnes says, he prayed, meaning David, that he might be enabled to act wisely and right. He desired that God would teach him what he should do. So we do want to ask for the Lord's guidance on navigating the difficult circumstances we may find ourselves in. And in verse 12, David, he even prays for help in the form of deliverance. He says, give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me and they breathe out violence. Like, it isn't until we get all the way here that David asked God to do something about his circumstances. So amidst the adversities we may face and amidst the fears we may have, let our confidence in God, David's confidence in God expressed itself in turning to him in prayer. Let our confidence in God express itself in turning to him in prayer. Because confidence in God It's really, again, counterintuitive. It's upside down. Confidence in God. The Christian who is confident. It doesn't lead to us being independent. The Christian who is confident is not independent. The Christian who is confident in God is humbly dependent. The Christian who is confident in God, that confidence expresses itself in being driven to our knees. With our greatest desire in prayer being communion with the living God himself. And then, let us ask for his help as it pertains to our circumstances and the circumstances we may face. But the question is, what do we do once we've done that? What do we do once we've done that? We've sought the Lord in prayer. We've sought the Lord's face. We've asked for his help. Maybe we've been asking for years, but the problem isn't gone. This is exactly where David finds himself in the remaining verses. Waiting upon the Lord. He finds himself waiting upon the Lord. However, David waits upon the Lord with confidence. Look at verse 13. He says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. After everything David's talked about facing in this psalm, fear, trouble, enemies, false witnesses. And even if he doesn't see it presently, given his circumstances, he still believes. He still has faith. He still has confidence that he will see the goodness of the Lord. Because he knows the goodness of the Lord. Really, what this is bringing across is David is saying, I would have fainted. I would have just crumbled and fallen over as if dead had I not believed that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Because there was nowhere else to look. There was nowhere else to turn but to the Lord and his promises. Calvin says this of what David means here. Had I not relied on the promise of God and been assuredly persuaded that he would safely preserve me, and had I not continued firm in this persuasion, I would have utterly perished. There was no other remedy. Had I not relied on the promise of God and been assuredly persuaded that he would safely preserve me, and had I not continued firm in this persuasion, I would have utterly perished. There was no other remedy. Church, do you find yourself walking through circumstances where you see it's very clear that there is no other remedy? Whatever it is that you may find yourself walking through that strikes fear in your heart, whatever it is that you think to yourself, I can't possibly make it through this. There's no way. I'm not strong enough. That's okay. You know what? Satan wants to whisper that in our ear. And guess what? Here's what you say to Satan. You know what? I'm not strong enough. You're right. I'm not. But I don't rely upon my own strength. I am not the stronghold of my life. I am not the one that I am confident in. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. I am persuaded that my God will persevere me. I am persuaded that my God will persevere me. And guess what, church? It's okay if you feel I don't have that faith. Because if the Spirit of the living God dwells in you, he will preserve you. Even when your faith dwindles, even when it's like a bruised reed, he will not break you, but he will see you through it and grow your faith until you get to this moment where you can say, like David, though I walk through in many ways the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Not because my circumstance is changing, for you are with me. For you are with me. Church, you can be persuaded that your God will preserve you. Why? Why? If you weren't a Christian, I would not be telling you that was the case. But why? Why can we bank our hope on that? Because God gave his very own son up for you. His word says, how will he not also graciously give us all things? Whether that be him showing you his goodness by delivering you from the circumstances, or whether that be him showing you his goodness by walking with you through the circumstances. So one way or the other, we can confidently trust our God. But the question still begs itself, what do we do? What do we do? After we've walked through this whole process, after you've sought refuge in the Lord, after we've approached his throne in prayer time and time again. Sometimes I think it's good for just the simplicity of God's word to speak. Sometimes we simply wait upon the Lord. Sometimes we simply wait upon the Lord. That's what David says in verse 14. He says, wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. David simply had faith that one way or the other, his God was going to come through. And part of that is because way back in the beginning of this psalm, David said, the Lord is my salvation, as if to say, I've seen him. I've seen him get me through things I never thought possible. I've seen his hand protecting me and caring for me throughout my days. And I've seen him do that throughout the history of salvation with his people. Surely he will do it again. And church, if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, can you not say the same thing? Have you not seen his goodness over and over and over again in the land of the living? Has he not only saved you upon placing your faith in him, but has he not proved himself true over and over again? Has he not been the stronghold of your life, the refuge of your life, time and time again? Has he not hid you in his shelter in times of trouble? Has he not been there for you? Even if your parents had forsaken you, has he not taken you in as his own child and cared for you as his own son? His character is unchanging. So he's still the same God that's been good to you and cared for you all the days of your life, despite whatever you may find yourself walking through right now. So we can wait upon him. What does that mean, to wait upon the Lord, to depend upon him, to trust in him, to be confident that he will come through in his perfect ways and in his perfect timing? Isaiah 40:31 says, they who wait for the Lord, they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I know we want things to go our way in life and in our timing, myself included. The sickness to end, the pain to end, the trial to end. And we get weary. We get weary. But God's word here says, those who wait upon the Lord with confidence, they shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. So if you find yourself weary this morning, if you find yourself feeling like I can't run another mile, I'm going to faint. If you find yourself facing fears and adversities this morning that seem like they may never end, let me encourage you, in many ways exhort us, to turn our eyes upon the Lord, who is not just a light, not just a salvation, not just a stronghold. He is your light. He is your salvation. Turn your eyes to the Lord, who is the stronghold, the refuge of your life. Let him be your greatest desire. And turn to him in prayer simply for the purpose of seeking his face. Simply for the purpose of seeking his face. How many times do we go to the Lord in prayer simply to delight in the splendor of his majesty displayed in Christ Jesus, the one who loves us and has proved it by his blood? Look to him this morning. God's word says, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But our God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, while we were still rebels, while we didn't even know his name, when we didn't even know his love, he, Christ Jesus, died for us. Let us gaze upon the beauty of the Lord revealed in his Son. You have something so much greater than the temple, so much greater than the tabernacle, so much greater than the types and shadows of the Old Testament to look to, and his name is Jesus Christ, in whom the glory of God is most preeminently displayed. And yes, petition him for help amidst whatever we may find ourselves facing. But trust that that one way or the other, you will see his goodness in the land of the living. But you won't only see his goodness in the land of the living. You will see his goodness for all the days of eternity in the life to come. Let us look to him this morning in prayer. Please join me. Father, teach us to seek your face, to seek your presence, to seek you is our greatest good. Enlarge our minds and our hearts to desire that which is truly beautiful, you. Give us spiritual eyes to see your glory, to see your love, to see your care, to see your hand of providence that has been upon our lives. Help us to believe that you will continue to care for us no matter what we may find ourselves walking through, Lord. Sustain our faith and grow our faith and increase our faith. Give us confidence that you are our salvation, that you will sustain us, Lord. And help us to look ahead to the day that we will see your goodness more fully than we've ever seen it before when we meet you face to face, Lord. Many of us are weary. Many of us are growing faint, Lord. Sustain us and enlarge our faith, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your promises that ensure us you will never let us grow. Grow us through our trials. Remove them if it be your will. But help us to trust that one way or the other, you are with us in the midst of them, Lord. Help us to experience your presence today. In your name we pray. Amen.